Thank you for tuning in to IGH 260, a one chapter per week, 260 week, 5-year long study of the New Testament. Today's program, lesson number 4 of week number 37, studying Mark chapter 9. As we get started in today's study, these reminders. For all of our free materials, click the word free at internationalgospelhour.com. For text updates, text IGHFREE, all one word, to this number, 55222. To study the Bible online, go to igh.worldbibleschool.org or click the online courses link at internationalgospelhour.com. To study the Bible by mail, call us toll-free at this number, 1-855-IGH-6988, to receive a free 30-lesson Bible study series, or use the contact form at internationalgospelhour.com to request that series. Let's continue our study of Mark chapter 9. We continue our study of that unique kingdom message that we find in the very first verse of this chapter. Mark 9:1, the transition from Mark 8 to Mark 9. Some biblical students, scholars included, are of the opinion that the kingdom that Jesus came to start 2,000 years ago was, in fact, not established as Jesus intended it to be at that time. There are 4 broad views of what will happen at the end of time, part of a study called eschatology, the study of last things, the study of end times, 2 of which emphasize a literal physical reign of Christ on the earth for a literal 1,000-year span. Those 2 broad views are called dispensational premillennialism and historical premillennialism. There's so much more to these 2 concepts than we have time to address, so what we will note here will be necessarily brief and correspondingly very incomplete. Historical premillennialism maintains that the promised kingdom was inaugurated in the first coming of Christ and will be fulfilled when he returns and reigns on the earth for 1,000 years. This millennial reign will fulfill God's kingdom promises to the Israelites. End of citation from Rowe's Guide to End Times Prophecy. The emphasis on kingdom here was that it started, that is, it was inaugurated when Jesus initially came to this world, but that it would not be completed until Jesus returned. Some of dispensational premillennialism's principal tenets are: the promised kingdom will be established when Jesus returns to earth after the rapture of the church and the 7-year tribulation. Jesus will reign from David's throne in Jerusalem, restore the Jewish nation, and rule over Israel and the nations for 1,000 years. Jesus offered this millennial kingdom to Israel during his earthly ministry with the apostles, but the religious leaders of his day rejected this offer. So God postponed the millennial kingdom and established a new form of the kingdom, never predicted in the Old Testament. This kingdom includes anyone who trusts in Jesus. End of citation from, again, Rowe's Guide to End Times Prophecy. There are several notable ideas worthy of mention as presented here, but we only want to note the 3rd one. Jesus intended, more specifically, Jesus offered this millennial kingdom to the Jews during the course of his public ministry, but the Jews as a whole rejected this offer. This thinking has been popular for quite some time. The source referenced, again, Rowe's Guide to End Times Prophecy, though not intended to be a scholastic or academic presentation and or critique of any or all end time theories, it does a fairly good job of introducing, of explaining, and then assessing the 4 broad views that we mentioned earlier. It accentuates focusing on the person of Christ more than picking or picking apart any one theory. In the section on dispensational premillennialism already noted, this work cites the following by LaHaye and Hinson from their work, Popular Encyclopedia of Bible Prophecy. You may recognize Tim LaHaye's name. one of the co-authors with Jerry B. Jenkins of the very popular Left Behind series of books. Here's that citation. In light of Israel's rejection of Christ, he announced the introduction of a new form of the kingdom, one that would span the period from Israel's rejection of Christ until Israel's future acceptance of Christ at his second advent. The postponement interrupted Israel's national restoration. The parable of the wicked vine dressers, Matthew 21, 33 through 44, signifies the withdrawal of the offer of the covenanted kingdom to Israel and its postponement to the future. Prophetic postponement is a tenet of classical dispensationalism. End of citation. We highlight only this thought. LaHaye and Hinson stated that Jesus withdrew the offer to establish his kingdom and instead postponed its arrival to a later date. The last line in this citation notes that prophetic postponement is a tenet of classical dispensationalism. So, what's the point? Why bring all of this out? We do so because Mark chapter 9, verse 1 says that those Jesus was addressing at that time, 2,000 years ago, would be alive to see the coming of God's kingdom with power. We do not wish to be so quickly dismissive of dispensational premillennialism as to pass over all arguments for it and how its advocates would respond to critiques against it. We do, however, simply want to note this. What Jesus said in Mark chapter 9, verse 1, does not, we are convinced, easily or at all square with the prophetic postponement idea of God's coming kingdom. Let's return to our earlier discussion. At the end of our last broadcast, we were studying the first Kingdom of God text that we find in Mark. It appears in Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. Here's what we have already studied. These two verses, twice mentioning the kingdom of God, once in anticipation and then once in fulfillment, have a lot to say about how we understand what Jesus meant in Mark 9:1, that some standing and some listening to him on that occasion would see God's kingdom come with power during their lifetimes. Consider these thoughts about the first Kingdom of God passage in Mark. First, it was the message that Jesus began his ministry with. Matthew chapter 4's parallel account starts at the same point in time and place and with the same message. Matthew chapter 4, verses 11 and following. Luke's account tells us that Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee and that he began to teach in their synagogues. Luke 4, 14 and 15. The synagogue teaching here repeats what we first learned in Matthew 4, 23 and following. But Luke does not say anything about the gospel of the kingdom message that we find in both Matthew and Mark, not in this immediate passage anyway. Second, Jesus' message was not just about the kingdom of God. It was about the good news, the gospel of the kingdom of God. We often associate Jesus, his divine sonship, and his divine mission as the core, as the center of God's heavenly kingdom. We are not wrong to do so. But Jesus' deity and Jesus' mission cannot be separated, not biblically anyway, from the good news of the kingdom. And Mark's not the only one to use the words gospel or good news in connection with that coming kingdom. We just noted that Luke, though he does not use the expression gospel of the kingdom in Luke 4, 14 and 15, still addresses something significant about Jesus' early ministry by telling us that Jesus taught in their synagogues, meaning that Jesus taught in the synagogues of Galilee. In Matthew's account, starting in 4:23, we also see that Jesus began his ministry by teaching in Galilean synagogues. But Matthew tells us what Jesus taught in those synagogues. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. That's Matthew 4, verse 23. Jesus was preaching the gospel of the kingdom in the synagogues, according to Matthew, and, though Luke does not expressly state it when he first mentioned that Jesus taught in their synagogues in 4, 14, and 15, Jesus certainly would have been teaching the same messages. Same places, same venue, the synagogues in Galilee, and the same message, the gospel of the kingdom. Both passages do not have to explicitly state that in order for it to be true. Furthermore, Luke's Kingdom of God cred does not fall behind either Matthew or Mark. Remember, Gabriel told Mary that Jesus will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end, Luke 1:33. Furthermore, we only need to keep reading in Luke chapter 4 to see what Jesus, no doubt, taught in the synagogues in Luke 4:14 and 15, the text we already cited. After Jesus left the synagogue in Nazareth, he went to Peter's house, healed Peter's mother-in-law, healed many who were sick with diseases, and cast out demons, Luke 4:38-41. On the following day, Jesus retreated to a deserted place, probably, as we see in other texts, so that he could pray to the Heavenly Father. But the crowd sought him and came to him and tried to keep him from leaving them, Luke 4:42. That's natural. They wanted Jesus' teaching, preaching, and healing to go on much longer in their villages. But Jesus needed to move on. Listen to what Jesus said as he explained that need. Luke 4:43 says, "But he said to them, 'I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, because for this purpose I have been sent.'" Note what Jesus said, "I must preach the kingdom of God." That's what we are talking about, the kingdom of God. Jesus said that he must preach that message, the kingdom of God message, to other cities also. The meaning, that's just what Jesus was preaching in this context, Luke 4:14 and 15, in the synagogues of Galilee, the kingdom of God. Third, what we have said so far about the preaching of God's kingdom at the start of Jesus' ministry, that it was a gospel, a good news message about the kingdom, must be understood as one of the main thrusts of all four gospel records. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are all about the kingdom of God, and they are all about Christ's headship of that kingdom. And finally, they are all about how Jesus' audiences of the first century were being prepared to be Jesus' kingdom disciples. In our next broadcast, we will take up at this point and continue our study of Mark chapter 9. These reminders as we close. To start our free, self-paced online Bible study, go to igh.worldbibleschool.org. We hope that you can join us as we study God's Word together in our next broadcast.